Thank you, Simone. That was beautiful. And it's so good. I love the line. I get to read the slices in advance. And I love this line. I would stand with my parents, watching all the other kids laugh and socialize. This was the first time I can remember feeling truly lonely. We can all connect with that feeling, right? There's some part of us that connects with those moments. I don't know if you guys know this. I am actually the son of immigrants. My mom is from Ireland. She came over as a college student. My dad is from India. And being the son of immigrants has a lot of positives. There were a lot of great moments. We got to travel a lot. But there were also some awkward moments. I brought a picture. Primarily, it was just the whole look they presented for me. Forget, if you will, the fact that I am rocking a white shirt and a white tie there. Usually it was some plaid outfit that I had on back then. But you look at the glasses and you look at the haircut and you know this is a child destined to be an outsider a little bit, right? And so I had moments of just like she's describing, outside looking in. And you know, I'm 47 now, so I can show you these pictures and we can laugh together about them. But in that moment, right, where you sense this, where you're in the cafeteria and you're sitting by yourself, or you feel like you're looking at other people and you're not a part, it doesn't feel like something to laugh about, right? How many of you guys have felt like an outsider in your life, have experienced that, tasted that? That is, it's for all of us. We have all experienced that. And what's weird about our society right now is I feel like we're almost dealing with this epidemic of loneliness. I don't know if you guys realize this, but here, I'm going to throw some stats at you. 1980s, 20% of Americans said they were often lonely. Now that number is 40%. Suicide rates are at a 30-year high. Depression rates have increased tenfold since 1960. In fact, the Surgeon General who just left, Dr. Murdy, he actually said in the Harvard Business Review that he thought loneliness is probably America's fastest growing public health crisis. It's affecting us in so many ways. I met a guy a couple weeks ago. His name's Dennis, and he works security here at OSU, and he had wandered in to the service at the Union, and I was in a little panic at first because I was like, oh, he's shutting us down, and because we get kind of loud, right? But he was like, oh, no, it's great. I'm just going to worship with you guys. It's like, oh, fantastic. So we had an opportunity to grab breakfast this week, and he was telling me that as part of the rounds for the security personnel here, they go to the top floor of parking garages just to make sure that nobody's there thinking about jumping. That's become part of their daily routine because of the loneliness. And I know that at some point you've probably heard all this sort of stuff and thought, okay, and what it's all about is Facebook, how evil it is, and social media is killing us, and it's making us discontent, and it's making us depressed, and it's making us feel lonely, and maybe there is some effect that certainly isn't helping us, probably. But the reality is that this experience, it's not a new phenomenon. Did you guys know that? This has been happening, this sense of loneliness has been taking place since the very beginning. If we look back in Genesis, we see the story of creation, and we know that God created us to have a relationship with Him. And not only that, God created us to have relationships with one another, and that something happened, and we sinned, and we rebelled, and those relationships were broken. Not just us and God, but us with one another. And that's the state that we're in. That's the brokenness that we're experiencing. And that feeling of loneliness, that's like a daily reminder that things are not the way they're supposed to be. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And I want to tell you guys this morning that there's hope. Just like Simone talked about the hope that she's experienced, we're in this series called Living Water. We're talking about how Jesus offers us living water, how He invites us into new life. And what that means is this, is that the outsider is being brought in, that the lonely is being set in a family, that men and women are being told by the Creator of the universe, you will no longer be alone. Isn't that amazing? And all of that is happening as a work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about today with you guys. But first, before we jump in, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much Thank you for Simone's story. I thank you for how you are moving on this campus and in our lives. And Lord, I just want to simply lift up our time together today. I pray that you would help this be not a time to gather some information or a time to punch the spiritual clock, that we would hear from you today, that we would be changed. Our prayer together as a community is that we would know you and see you a little more clearly than we did before. That you would reveal yourself, your character, your heart to us, so that we might be changed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, hey, we're going to be in John chapter 14. So if you have a Bible and you want to flip to that, that's great. If not, we'll put this on the screen. We have been actually in the Gospel of John the last couple weeks, and we had a little scene that was early in Jesus' ministry and then in the middle when he was getting some opposition. And today in John 14, we're getting nearer to the end of his earthly ministry. And so he has gathered these men and women, and they are following him, and they're from all walks of life, and they've decided this is the guy. I can't quite figure out what he's about, but he's amazing, and I've never met anyone like him, and this is my tribe, and I'm going to follow him. And he's gathering them together, and he's teaching them, and he's sharing with them some things that he wants them to know, because he knows his ministry on earth is about to come to an end. And I'm going to start in verse 15. It says this. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, and you will also live, and you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Now, there's a lot in there. And I just want to sum it up. I want to give you the main thrust of what's happening here. Jesus knows dark times are about to come, right? He knows what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next is he's about to be taken, and he's about to suffer, and he's about to die, and he's going to be put in a tomb. And at that moment, the disciples will be terribly confused, and they will feel terribly lonely, and they will be without hope. And you're sitting here and you're like, "Well, wait a minute, it all works out." But that's because you know the end of the story, right? But in this moment, and when that's happening, they are going to feel alone and abandoned and not know what's going to happen. And first he is saying to them, "I'm coming back." He's referring to the resurrection. "I will come back." But again, the goal is not that he would then stay with them forever. In the beginning of the book of Acts, the story of the early church, we see him, and he makes sure they know that he has come back and he's been risen from the dead. But then he ascends into heaven. He's gone. And in Acts chapter 2, he sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is this helper that Jesus is referring to here in chapter 14. "I am going to send you a helper." And you know, if we've been here the last 2 weeks, you know that the Holy Spirit is a personal being, the Spirit of the Lord, and that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, is a follower of Jesus Christ, Scripture says that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is sent to live in us, and that he begins to work in our lives. And this text says something specific about him, that he will be with you forever, that he dwells with you and will be with you, that he makes his home with you. And I know that can sound weird, right? It sounds like mystical. Okay, God's Spirit is now dwelling in me. And we're going to get to practically what that means and what that looks like. But just stop and think about how profound that declaration is. what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, if you are a follower of me, you will never be alone. You will never be alone. You have found your place. Isn't that amazing? In our world, in our broken world, in our world where we have so many broken relationships and we're coming from families that may not look the way they're supposed to look, and we don't necessarily sense peace and acceptance and belonging. All of us in this room have been looking, we've been searching for our place, haven't we? We've been searching for a place to belong, to be a part of. Where is my tribe? Where are my people? I just did a wedding last week. It was fantastic. Two H2O alumni. This is like the glamour shot of the year here of them. And there was this great moment where I'm standing there. I get to do this at every wedding. And then the groom is here. And then the bride kind of came around the corner. And you get to watch his face as he sees his bride. And he just lost it. He was like shaking, crying, all excited. And it was this beautiful moment. Because at that moment, they were looking at each other and they're realizing, this is it. We're going to be together forever. We will not be alone. We are committing before the Lord to be one. We found a place of belonging. But you don't have to go to a special thing like that to see our desire for belonging, right? Just yesterday, how many of you went to the game yesterday? Right? And you filed in and you dressed up like that, probably. And you filled that stadium and you cheered for your people. And you were against the other people. We don't like them. And you're high-fiving people that you've never met. And you're hugging people, maybe, that you've never met. Based on what people are doing on the field. Right? And you are Buckeye Nation. You are a people. You are a tribe. Right? Isn't that the language? Isn't that how we talk? And when the football team does well, you refer to them as we. We did well. We won. Really? Really? Did you? Right? Like Vivek, he coached for a little bit, so maybe he gets away with that. The rest of us, no. Because this is where we belong, and we do that. Right? Maybe it's the band. Maybe it's a fraternity or a sorority or a club. Or maybe it's our political party. Or maybe it's just our little part of the cafeteria table. And we're looking for our place. And guys, I want to say there's nothing wrong with those places. There's nothing wrong with those communities or those tribes or those relationships. But at some point we realize they do not fully satisfy, do they? There is something more that we need. Even the most beautiful moments of husband and wife. You get married, trust me. It will not satisfy your need for community and family and belonging. There's something deeper there. In fact, what happens is we want it so badly. Many of us in this room, we will do whatever it takes just to belong, that we will even try to be people that we're not, just to get others to accept us. We will make compromises in our lives that we know we shouldn't make, just to get a group of people to accept us. How many of us here have regrets in our lives from things that we've done just to try to feel like we belong? Have you experienced that? I know I have regrets. And one of the most powerful messages of Jesus Christ is you can stop chasing. You can stop looking. I am who you have been searching for. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So what does this look like? So what does it mean? He's making this declaration. He's saying, God's Spirit will live in you. Verse 25 says this, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world's coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Same message. I'm going away. This is my Father's will, but I am not leaving you alone. There is a key word in here. We see it in verse 16 and then again in verse 26, and it's translated helper. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, the actual word here is paraclete. And it properly means one called to the side of another. So the picture is the Holy Spirit is one called to your side. He is walking with you. And it's translated helper, but helper is, it doesn't get it. It doesn't encompass the depth of this word and the depth of its meaning. Let me try to give you a sense of the meaning of this word. In one sense, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He is a comforter for us. He has been sent to live with us to provide comfort. I love that in this passage, just like all throughout the Gospels, Jesus pulls no punches. He says, look, following me is hard. There are going to be trials. There are going to be dark times. There's going to be dark times because you're wrestling with your own sin. There's going to be dark times because you're wrestling with other people's sin. There's going to be dark times because there's forces out there that oppose me. There's going to be dark times because this world is broken and they're suffering. And he makes a simple promise, and it's the promise that God makes all throughout Scripture. It's simply this, I will be with you. I will be with you. No, I'm not going to magically change everything in your life so that when you believe in me, it's all comfort and entertainment. No. But whatever happens, I am with you. And that's what he's boldly declaring here. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? Many of you right now, you're experiencing suffering or trials or hardships. And what we want is to know, I am not walking alone. There is someone who will let me sit with them at the RPAC steps and cry. And they don't have to say anything. But they're with me. Guys, I want you to hear this morning. He is not distant. We can go to him with our sorrow. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. In another sense, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. Scripture says he teaches us all things. He guides us in truth. Life is confusing, isn't it? Following the Lord, who is distant, who seems abstract, who is invisible, can be very difficult. It can be very difficult to know what this book is talking about sometimes. It can be difficult to know how to apply it to our lives. And Jesus is saying, look, I am sending you God's Spirit, and he will counsel you. He will teach you. This week I got a text from my daughter, Savita, and she said, hey, can we talk about God sometime? And I thought, yeah, we should probably do that. That's probably good. That's like the pastor dad's dream text from their daughter, right? And so yesterday we got together at Starbucks, and she had a notebook of stuff, and it was questions that other people have asked her or she's been wondering about herself, and she's like, well, explain this to me, and how does this work? And this person said this. That didn't sound right, but is it right? And we just talked, and we had a pumpkin spice latte, and right, yeah, okay. I'm getting applause for a pumpkin spice latte. And there was this moment of like, this is awesome. This is fun. And I love the fact that she knew that she could come and talk to me and ask me any question that she had. And I know a lot of us in this room, we don't feel like we have that, right? Who would I even ask? Who would I even talk to? The idea of going to God and saying, look, I have doubts, I have questions. In fact, you've sent your Spirit. I need help. Will you lead me? Will you guide me? This is what God wants to do in our lives. This is the picture of what the Holy Spirit can do. In another sense, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He He supports us. He intercedes for us. There's like a legal sense to this idea that he's like our defense attorney. He walks with us to give us confidence so that we can walk without fear. A lot of you guys know this. One of the organizations we're partnered with here in Columbus is called The Bridge. You guys heard of The Bridge? And we have a huge refugee population in Columbus. And this, The Bridge is basically trying to serve this community because these folks have come here, they have fled their country oftentimes, and they're plunked down in this new place. They don't know how to become citizens. They don't know how to speak the language. They don't know how to work the education system. They don't know how to get driver's license. And nobody is really here to help them. And so this organization is basically coming alongside and saying, we want to help you. And I met with Naresh, and he runs this tutoring of young kids. And we hung out this week, and he was just giving me an update on everything. And it was just so fun to listen to him. You know, he was talking about some of the kids. These are some of the kids that they tutor. And he was so fired up. He's like, nobody is helping them navigate their middle school and high school experience. We want to help them get to college. We want to help them do well. We want to come alongside them, and we're going to show them the love of Jesus Christ by just helping them. And he said, you know what? Every kid that has gone through with us in high school is now in college. Isn't that amazing? And he's like, but it's not enough because some of them want to be at Ohio State, but they're working in Columbus State, and they want to transfer, and I'm going to help them do that. And I'm going to help them figure out how they can, as they have their bigger goals and see that they can do these things, get them to those spaces. And he's just, you know, I don't know if some of you may have met him. He's so full of energy and life. And I thought, this is an advocate, right? This is someone who has decided, you, I'm behind you. I'm going to help you. I don't care if you're getting forgotten by everyone else. I'm with you. And that is the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. Jesus is saying, look, you are not left as orphans. I am behind you. I am with you. I am your advocate. And I could just go on and on. There's so many passages in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit. I just want to read one other one to you because it captures this sense of what he does. This is in Romans. Paul writes this to the church in Rome. He said, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Adoption, right? What happens when we're adopted? We are included. We belong. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a intimate term that a son might use to refer to his dad. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. A little later it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There are times when we don't even know what to say. We don't even know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. This is a picture of intimacy, where he is present. And I know that many of you have been in the church and maybe you've heard these things before and you feel like, yeah, no, I know that in my head. But I want to ask you this morning, are you experiencing this reality in your life? Are you living aware of the presence of God in your life, moment by moment, day by day, that God's Spirit is living in you and he is working, that we will speak with him and depend on him and be comforted by him? Guys, the relationship that you were intended to have with God the Father, it's restored. And it's not just restored legally, right? Like he's like, all right, you did what you needed to do. I'm going to write you back into the will. See you later. But it's restored in intimacy. It's restored in connection. And I know it's hard for some of us to even picture that, because when we think dad, we don't necessarily think intimacy and deep connection and comfort and counsel and advocate. But that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it is when we place our faith in Christ and we're reconciled. He sets the lonely in families. And it gets even better than just the fact that we're restored with him. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and we were made to drink of one spirit." There is this picture in Scripture that puts forth very strongly that not only does the Holy Spirit bring deep intimacy with God the Father, the Holy Spirit provides the power for us to be reconciled with one another. So we don't need to walk all alone anymore here in this space. There's this picture in the New Testament. One of the most amazing parts of the early church is that people who hated each other were gathered together to worship the Lord, because there was a power bigger than the divisions that they had, right? And our culture needs this now more than ever, right? Bigger than racial divides, bigger than economic divides, bigger than political divides. There is a power bigger than that. Aren't we hungry for that? I don't know if you guys, any of you guys were at the Plunge, but Kyler came and gave a slice. Any of you there remember this? I love this slice. Kyler was just speaking from the heart, and he talked about how he has been involved in H2O, but as an African-American man, he has missed. He's the guy on the left. In case you were wondering. He's missed his music. He's like, oh, man, the music in my home church, I miss it. You know, H2O's all right, but, you know, miss music. And so Colin on the right heard that and was like, hey, we should just go find a church that plays your music. Let's go. And they went somewhere down in Columbus, and they went to a worship service, and apparently it was like 4 hours long. And it was so funny listening to Kyler, because he was like, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, you know. And then he's like, yeah, and Colin was kind of in the back, like, you know. And he shared it because he was just so struck with how much love that would take to say, hey, I'm going to go and we'll be there for 4 hours and I'm excited to see you excited. These guys have no business being friends, right? They have no business connecting. We don't live in a world where people that are different culturally tend to connect much. We have a team on campus, the international team. Any international team people here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, up top, balcony. There we go. This is a picture of some of them. Why I found out this fall they multiplied. They grew, and it was just a handful of people that are like, there's so many international students here. They need the love of Jesus. Let's connect. Let's see if God could forge a community. And it's a diverse community, and folks from different cultures and backgrounds, and they're together, and they're loving one another only because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And they've grown so much, now they've had to divide into two teams. And they have no business being friends. And this is the part of the work of the Spirit that I think so many Christians today, they miss out on, right? We're kind of consumers, and we'll go, I go to this church, and then I listen to this podcast, and I serve over here. And the kingdom of God is big, and it's awesome that it's big, and it's super that we have so many opportunities to be connected with other Christians doing lots of things. But in the context of the local church, I think there's a place where we need to go deep, right? Where we need to say together, I don't know how this is even possible, but I think God's Spirit is so powerful that I could be friends with these people. And we could go deeper than I usually go. And I could be more vulnerable than I usually would be. I mean, Simone just got up here and shared her heart, right? That's crazy. And she doesn't know all of you, but there's some space where it's like, I'm going to take a risk to believe that God could make this happen. Will it be perfect? No. No. So please don't be like, yeah, John said H2O is the perfect community. Not at all. But our hope is that we'd be a community that says, hey, you know what? The power of God is here. Let's see if this could be a place where I get a taste of family. Not going to be perfect. We know that we're still broken. But maybe God is big enough to do that. Isn't it cool to think that the Holy Spirit could bring us together gets even better than that. Here's one last verse I want to share with you. This is in Ephesians. Paul says, he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And what that means is simply this. The Holy Spirit is not just providing God's presence in our day-to-day life or the power for us to connect. The Holy Spirit provides the promise to bring us home. There will be a time when the loneliness is done. There will be a time where we belong and we belong forever. That we will experience unity. That the waves of loneliness and insecurity that we wrestle with, they will be gone. It's actually described as a feast, which I think is cool, like a big family dinner. I think of this and I think, you know, not only would God sit with us in the cafeteria, he'd introduce us to his friends, and then he'd invite us to his house. And that's literally what he's doing. But the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, and our inheritance is to be with him. And it is going to be so good. It is going to be so good. And we need to be reminded of that, don't we? I don't know how busy things have gotten for you or how chaotic or how stressful they've been, but we need to be reminded that this is not our home. Our home awaits. So we're actually going to celebrate with a meal today. It's breaking of bread. I'm going to have the worship team come forward. And this is just our chance as a community, as those that are followers of Jesus Christ, to remember that once we were far off. Once we did not belong. We were alone, and yet Jesus has brought us near. We're going to play a few songs. We're going to have a time of prayer and worship, and I would just encourage you, if you've placed your faith in Christ, to just come up at some point during the next three songs and take some of the bread and dip it in the juice that represents the body and blood of Jesus, and just be reminded of the sacrifice Jesus has made for us. And while you're doing that, be reminded of the fact that you're part of a family. You are not alone. And I know that there's some of you today who may feel like outsiders. Maybe this is your first time here. Or you're like, I don't even know why I got invited to this place, and I don't know anything about Jesus, and I don't know what I think about all this stuff. I want to tell you candidly this morning, Jesus is inviting you. The invitation is still there. You're invited to the table. Today could be the day where you stop trusting in yourself. You stop searching for other places and you turn to Jesus and you acknowledge him as your Savior. You acknowledge him as your King. I would just encourage you, if you're in that space, just pray in the next couple songs. And if you feel God's Spirit moving, inviting you, would you respond? And there's no hoops you've got to jump through. We're not going to have you raise your hand. There's no formula. You just need to communicate to God that you trust him, that you want to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and follow him as your King. And I promise you, he will take you home. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that you did not leave us here as orphans. Lord, we know, we confess that often you feel very distant and we're not sensing your presence together as a community. We just want to acknowledge, we know that you are here and you are real and that you are moving in ways that we can't imagine, even when we can't see it. And Lord, we look to you. We ask that you, we would be reminded that you are with us, and we thank you that your power has forged us together as a family. And Lord, as we worship you, we just pray that you would get all the honor and all the praise. Thank you for rescuing us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.